maybe parents aren't the only ones in the family earning the big bucks. As it turns out, little ones are cashing in on a pretty comfortable annual allowance when you look at some numbers on that front. According to a new report from allowance and chore tracking app Rooster Money, kids have been saving roughly 30% of their allowance heading into the summer. Joining us now from the UK is Rooster Money's James Kassam. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. How are you?
This is a pretty impressive number, saving 30% of their allowance. What do you make of that?
Well, we're proud of the kids. We were really impressed with that number as well. And I think, you know, we took a little look at what the average number was for adults as well. And we found that the average adult saving rate is just under 5%. So obviously, it's not a straight comparison, but it just puts it into context a little bit. The kids are doing well on the saving front.
What else did your report find?
Well, so the report is the allowance report that we run annually, and what we look at is everything from the average allowance they get each week, if they get it every week, if they get it every month, how much it is. We break it down by age. We find out what they're earning for. We will find out what they're spending it on. And so it gives us a really fun snapshot into the family economy, as it were. So we found, for example, the average allowance across all ages between 4 to 14 was $8.74. 72% of the kids on our platform are receiving a regular allowance as opposed to ad hoc rewards. And interestingly, you know, people always want to know what are the top things that kids are saving towards. And we found that was number one is Lego, as it actually has been keeping records for 2 years. It's always up there. And then you always get phones and tablets, and Nintendo Switch has recently entered the top five as well. So it's a really interesting insight into what goes on with these young allowance earners out there.
There are two camps around chores, those that give an allowance regardless, which is the camp I'm in, and then those that connect chores to the allowance such that if the chores aren't complete, the allowance is not delivered. What did your report find on how people manage chores and what sort of chores are included? Getting good grades, you know, cutting the grass, walking the dog?
Exactly. Well, absolutely right. There are two camps on this, and there is no right and wrong. I mean, we always say the main thing is to create a routine and stick to it. So if you, whatever that routine is, the kids will benefit from the consistency. But having said that, it is interesting to look at what types of chores the kids do earn their money for with. So tidying the bedroom was number one, followed by helping with the laundry, taking the trash out, and then looking after the pets and cleaning the bathroom. So, you know, all things you might expect, but we also find it's quite useful for parents, which is another one of the reasons that we pulled this report together. We were getting loads of parents calling us up, asking us, you know, how do I start a routine? Should I be paying them for chores? What kind of things are acceptable to pay them for? And it's another kind of benefit of this report is it's a helpful tool for those parents. I guess the other side of it, you've got the most common chores, but you also have the most lucrative chores, as it were. And so, yeah, I think, as you mentioned, grades, that's always up there. So children were earning $15 a go for getting good grades, which is not bad.
Wow.
That was up at the top, closely followed by selling stuff at about $15 as well. I think that's a really interesting one because it shows the entrepreneurial side of the kids out there, and they're doing their chores to earn money, but they also know that they can sell a few things on eBay, a few of those old toys to earn a bit of extra cash.
That sounds like double dipping. I don't know if I would authorize that in my household.
No, but you might credit them for the idea in entrepreneurialism.
Maybe, I guess. I want my 8-year-old like shingling the roof and, I don't know, retrofitting the HVAC, like hardcore tasks that I would have to spend thousands of dollars for someone else to do.
Well, yeah, no, however you want to get them involved, Chris.
Now, what did you notice in terms of age? I mean, that average figure is a very wide range from 4 to 14, as you say. What nuance is there if you carve up the brackets a little bit?
Sure. I mean, it's kind of a steady rise from just under $4 at the age of 4 up to about $13 at the age of 14. But we do see kind of the biggest jump between the age of 12 and 13. So they're getting, you know, $9 something around 12, and then at 13 it jumps to about $11, $12. And I think that's probably what you'd expect once they get into their teens, that they probably demand a little bit more, or the parents believe that they need that little bit more money for that little bit extra independence. But, you know, we don't think that's a bad thing. You know, the more you empower the kids with their own money, we find they always respond by engaging more and getting involved more and asking more questions, which is what it's all about.
What are people doing on clothing allowance these days? Because when I was growing up, I got an allowance for, you know, O. Henry bars and going to the movie, but then I got a second allowance for clothes. And the idea was that it was like a master class in budgeting, because if you didn't have enough money for the graduation suit at the end of eighth grade, you were wearing shorts and a t-shirt. Very effective back in my time, but I don't know how common that is these days.
We don't see too much of it, to be honest, but we do talk about that kind of approach. I think it's really interesting when you can, you know, you can have a conversation with your child and say, look, we're actually going to up your allowance, but it does cover more things. So it might cover your clothing, like you say, and it might cover part of your Netflix subscription, and it might cover part of your Spotify subscription. So we're going to give you more money, but you actually have to cover more of the everyday expenditure that we incur.
Yeah, like their share of the mortgage and heat and groceries and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, that, you know, some would say that's taking it too far, but I think, again, it's whatever works for your family. Mortgage might be a bit too much.
You know, I want to keep raising the bar here. You reported that 72% of parents give an allowance on your platform, which in our culture sounds really, really high. Do you have any idea outside of Rooster Money what percentage of families choose to give an allowance? Because certainly at the playground at our school, we're not an outlier that we do this, but it certainly isn't in the majority. It isn't the majority.
Sure. I mean, we don't have exact stats on countrywide outside of the platform. But what we do know is that when you ask parents, not as many of them will say that they give an allowance as is reflected in our 72% there. However, when you break it down and you delve deeper, you find that they are often dishing out a little bit of cash here, some money for sweets here, buying a magazine there, which brings me on to this. We often find what we call the pocket money paradox, where the parents end up spending less by giving pocket money because they're reducing the amount of ad hoc expenditure throughout the week once they hand over the money management to the kids. Mm. And as soon as they have their own money, they all of a sudden want to spend a little bit less on sweets and football stickers, and they want to save up for those phones and those Xboxes.
And the bloody Lego. God.
And the Lego.
James, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Not at all. Thank you again.
James Kassam is with Rooster Money, and he was here to talk about the new allowance report. 30% is what the kids are saving. The kids will be all right if they do that.